Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next half hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Pastor Mike in studio live with my wife, Linda. And we're looking forward to what the Lord's going to do as we continue in our trek through some life-changing truths as we look at the scriptures together. We left off at Ephesians chapter 5, and I'll kind of fill you in on our beginning memory verse and where we went from there. But, you know, I just want to remind you, our thesis is we're trying to apply much of this, the commands to love and the commands of how we behave and how we treat one another. We're trying to apply those things to marriage, since there's a real crisis today in Christian homes. There really is. I think that the divorce rate among Christians isn't much better than the world.
If at all.
Yeah. And so it's really sad. And I think, you know, there's a number of factors that add to that. For one thing is that Christians just really lack the commitment, you know, to obey the Lord. If you just hold your course and obey the Lord, then there's times you'll be tempted to do things that you shouldn't do, and you won't do them if you're committed to be a Christian who's obedient to the Word of God. And so what we're doing is we're looking at the scriptures. As a matter of fact, I started to say our thesis. It's that any marriage can work if you have two people who are willing to do the right thing. And the right thing is obeying the Word of God.
Yes.
And so what we're doing is we're looking at some verses in Scripture. Many of these verses just apply to every Christian. If you are a Christian, married or single, this applies to you. And an extra portion of application should go, if you're married, you certainly need to apply it to your marriage. If you're supposed to forgive one another, then in your marriage, you certainly need to learn to forgive one another. If you're supposed to put away bitterness and shouting and anger and bitter, you know, all this stuff, you need to apply this in your marriage. Hello? It kind of makes sense. So we're going to continue. We're in Ephesians 5, like I said. But before we go any further, I want to let Linda tell you how you might participate. You know, this week we've had a caller or two, and we've had a guest in the studio, and we've had some, I think, some good dialogue and good discussion. We love to hear from our listeners. If you've been listening for a while and you've never called in or never texted us, we'd love to hear from you. Even if it's just, hey, been listening and thanks for the show, or if maybe you're dealing with a serious problem and you want to know what the Word of God says. What is the solution? You know, any marriage can work if you have two people willing to do the right thing. Maybe you've got a situation you want to lay out before us and say, what is the right thing? We'd love to help you with that. So Linda's going to tell you how you can communicate and participate with us.
Hi, everybody. If you want to call and be live on the radio with us, that number is 208-377-3790. Again, that's 208-377-3790. If you don't want to talk live on the radio, you can send a text message to Calvary Chapel Eagle's phone. That number is 208-891-2635. If you're out there in Facebook Live land, go ahead and put something in the comments, and we keep an eye on that one too. If you missed our show yesterday, we did have Corey and Annalise Woodsum, who are missionaries that are going to be going to the Congo with Mission Aviation Fellowship. If you missed that show, you might want to go ahead and go up to our website and listen to it again. If you're on the radio or Facebook, go back into our feed and look for it. It was well worth hearing.
Yeah. There was an education for us on Mission Aviation Fellowship. It's funny, along with learning how you could support one of their missionaries or a couple, a missionary couple team. But, you know, I didn't realize, I wasn't connecting that Mission Aviation Fellowship actually goes all the way back to like 1945 with Elizabeth and, was it George?
Jim
Elliott. I knew I was close. Elizabeth and Jim Elliott, and they were a part of that ministry, and MAF has been going strong. That was an education for me as well. Well, listen, we are currently in Ephesians 5, and I wanted to show you our starting verse and then maybe recap and then get the flow going. But remember, if you want to call us, the area code is 208-577-75. Am I saying the right number?
No, you were giving your number.
I was starting to give my cell number. I just knew it. Okay. Don't do that. It's 208-377-3790. I thought, no, don't start letting my phone ring. It's 208-377.
Not when we're using it for Facebook Live.
All right, 208-377-3790 if you want to call the station. We love the dialogue with you because sometimes people text us a question and we really could miss it. We could get it wrong because you ask a question until we dialogue back and forth. It's like we don't really know what's going on. For instance, we had a gal earlier this week call in, want to know if you have to forgive, if she had to forgive her husband when he committed adultery. Now, you know, if forgiving means letting him back in, well, I could just give my answer, but wait a minute. After talking a little bit, I discovered that he is still living in the house. They're still working on their marriage, but she's not sure if she wants to keep working on the marriage.
And he sees nothing wrong with adultery.
He won't even admit he committed adultery. And he sees nothing wrong with it. Even if he did, he's blowing it off and minimizing it. So all of these are factors. So you got a question about your life situation. I think we, if it's an important question, we need to talk and maybe talk it through because every little change in the circumstance adds to the proper answer or leads to the proper answer. Because, you know, I did say you when you forgive somebody, it doesn't mean you just accept them back a hundredfold. If somebody was a child molester and they molested you as a child or molested your children, you need to forgive them to deal with the unforgiveness in your heart. But it doesn't mean you ever let them back in your house again. You know, so there's examples like that. But every situation has all kinds of contingencies and special situations you need to consider. So I want to remind you that if you do call in, if you do want to talk to us or have a question, please call in so we can talk. 377-3790. That's area code 208-377-3790. Now, our starting verse was Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Now, this has never been a real memory verse of mine, but I really think I need to memorize this. This is powerful because even that last line in verse 17, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. I really believe that one of the greatest factors that leads to us making foolish decisions and living foolish lives is that we don't understand God's will for our life. We just think we know what's best according to our own opinion, or somebody told us, or this is the way I was raised, or this is the way my church taught me. But all those people could be wrong. You need to understand what the will of the Lord is, and the only way you really get that is through the Word of God, because churches have been known to be wrong. Preachers and pastors have been known to be wrong. Even your parents have been known to be wrong. They could give you wrong advice. They could set wrong examples. You need to know what God's word says about so many different situations in life. So when it says, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is, I want to, you know, stress the point that one of the reasons we're spending so much time in all these verses, we want you to understand what the Lord's will is. And now you might go, well, what's the Lord's will about what? Well, there's so many different things in our lives that God does have something to say about, okay? And so we've backed up all the way to Ephesians 4, 25, worked our way back up to Ephesians 5, verse 1. I believe we read the first two verses last time we were in this text, and we're ready for verse 3. But let me get the flow here, starting with verse 1 of Ephesians 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. And I remember the important thing we really drove home when we talked about this is that one of the things we're continually told to do is be imitators of God, or Linda brought out that one of the, some translations say followers of God, and to walk in love, that's a continual commandment throughout the scripture. And what does love look like? What does love do? Love sacrifices. We spent a lot of time talking about this, but I think it's worth telling you again, you never can hear it too much, is that what love looks like is love is self-sacrificing. Sin is selfish. Sin and unrighteousness and iniquity is self-centered and all about me. But love gives of itself for the sake of another. That's what love is. Christ was the supreme example of what love is, that he gave of himself for our sake. And so when it says walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, I think it's important to realize that he is the model of what love does, what love looks like, how love behaves, that if you love someone, you give up your way for their way. You give up even to the point of sometimes self-harm. There's times for the sake of somebody else, you'll do something that maybe it even hurts you. You're missing out on things for the sake of someone else, like Christ on the cross. Okay. Now we're going to continue in this text because now we're going to talk about some more controversial type stuff. For instance, it says in verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for saints. Now I'm reading from the New King James. I think it's fitting that maybe we'll look at it from a few other translations as well. But what do I mean by controversial? Nowadays, if you talk about sex outside of marriage, which that's what fornication is, it's sex outside of marriage. Any kind of illicit sexual activity is considered fornication. That is totally acceptable nowadays. Of course, there's been times through different church, not just church history, different history of the world, where sex outside of marriage, sex with the same sex partner, or even sex with children, depending on when you look at it in history, it all ebb and flow, it changes through time. And I think it depends upon whether there's a revival in town or not. It depends upon whether Christ is ruling and reigning and that the church is doing well and establishing strength in the community. I think when there's a revival, I think people are more aware of what sin is and what sin isn't. And then all of a sudden they realize fornication is wrong. Okay. So it says, but fornication and all uncleanness, and he throws in there covetousness. It's interesting because these are three things that would be considered no big deal. Okay. Now I want to look at these three, maybe a few different translations that help bring out the meaning of this, because uncleanness doesn't mean you forgot to wash your feet last night before you went to bed. Uncleanness is actually referring to immorality and sexual uncleanness. Let me read it from a few different translations, starting with verse 3. NIV says, but among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. I like that. You know, every now and then I'll read the NIV and I'll just think, I like the way the NIV words things many times. And so what we're being told by Paul is there shouldn't even be a hint of this. So let me take it a step further. Not that I want to go unbiblical or beyond what the Bible says, but a hint means it's not something you're entertained by. It's not something that you talk about. It's not something that you joke about. I think that lots of times dirty jokes among Christians, and we'll be talking about coarse jesting, I think, in the next verse, or the entertainment you watch or listen to, whether it's the music you listen to or the movies you watch. Quite often, the movies and the music glorify sex outside of marriage. They'll glorify all kinds of sexual impurity, even greed, even, you know, it just a lot of the things that the Bible puts a taboo on, Hollywood glorifies. Okay. So, and I'm doing all the talking here on, but if you got something, let me know. So I'm going to read it now from the Phillips translation. But as for sexual immorality in all its forms and the itch to get your hands on what belongs to other people, this is good. This is the Phillips translation. Don't even talk about such things. they are no fit subjects for Christians to talk about. Okay, so all these translations are going to do this. They're going to tell you that it's not fitting, it's not suitable, it's not proper for a Christian to behave this way. Now, here's the thing. Christians like to argue about what I can do and not go to hell. You know, could I still do this and still go to heaven? You know, that's not even what the point is that Paul is saying when he's writing to the Ephesians. He's saying it's not appropriate. You know, it's kind of like, how about if I asked you, can I drink from the gutter and still be a healthy person? Maybe. Maybe not. Depends what's flowing down that gutter the moment you drink from it, you know? Can I eat whatever I want and not exercise and still be a human being? Yeah, you'll be a human being, but you'll be flabby and out of shape and probably eating things that you shouldn't be eating. It's kind of like a no-brainer question, you know? And so the Church of Ephesus had questions about these things. Paul was addressing them, and as many of Paul's letters, this was a corrective letter as well as a doctrinal letter. And so he says, sexual immorality in all its forms and the itch to get your hands on what belongs to other people. I like the way it's worded there. Don't even talk about such things. They are no fit subjects for Christians to talk about. So instead of asking yourself, how close to the edge can I get without falling off? Or how many things can I do in my life and still go to heaven? Ask yourself, what's proper and fit for a Christian? What's appropriate for a child of God? How should I live as a child of God representing Jesus and representing the Lord? And, you know, what's right? What's proper? Okay, let me read on. There's a couple other translations I want to read you on this verse. Ephesians 5:3 in the Holman Christian Standard Bible says this, but sexual immorality and impurity or greed should not even be heard among you as proper for saints. By the way, that word saints, you know, there's some religions and some denominations that look at saints as holy, holy, holy Christians, not just Christians, but Christians who are special, special, special Christians. That's not the way the Bible uses the word saints. The way the Bible uses the word saints is all the people of God. Saints are the hagios. It's those who've been set apart. The Greek word is meaning set apart for God's purposes. If you're a child of God, if you're a Christian, then you are a saint and you're set apart for God's purposes, for God's plan. It doesn't necessarily mean that you go around doing miracles and that you're perfect, because any of the people who've been canonized by the Orthodox churches, and they call them saints, they weren't necessarily perfect either. And they may have done some miracles, because I believe that by the power of Jesus Christ, any one of us, God can do miracles through any one of our lives and ministries. So a saint, don't get this mixed up. A saint is just simply another word for Christian, you know, and there are saints and there are ain'ts. The saints are those who are born again Christians, and the ain'ts are those who aren't born again Christians. Okay. Let me read one more translation, then we're going to move on here. I'm going to go out to the very edge here with the edgy Message Bible, because the Message translation always kind of pushes things. And it's always kind of fun to hear how they word it. Don't allow love to turn into lust, setting off a downhill slide into sexual promiscuity, filthy practices, or bullying greed. That's good. Good job.
That's good.
I think it actually words it properly. And so before we move off this verse, let me pick up on that phrase sexual promiscuity, because I really believe that there's all kinds of forms that have snuck into the church and snuck into Christians' lives of sexual promiscuity. There are many Christians today who believe it's okay to view pornography. Some Christians think, well, it's a marital aid. It's not a marital aid. It's a distraction from your marriage. You need to be turned on by your spouse. You need to be totally devoted and pour yourself out for your spouse and not be stirring up your sexuality by looking at somebody out beside your spouse. This is something that's quite often excused or rational. You know, it's rationalized a lot, saying, oh, no, pornography is good. It gets the juices going. Yeah, maybe it does get the juices going, but this is sexual promiscuity, and the Bible tells you that you need, matter of fact, read Proverbs chapter 6 through 9. Read the Song of Solomon. Read so much of what the Bible says about married love, that we're supposed to be totally ravaged in each other's arms. We're supposed to be in love with one another. We're supposed to be just filled and satisfied by one another in marriage. And you shouldn't be going outside of your marriage to get the juices going, and sexual promiscuity, that's what it's called, and filthy practices. I think that fits in there as well. By the way, I'd also want to say, and right now I'm just kind of talking from the top of my head here, that right now in our teenage world, there's a lot, even in the church, of Christians or kids who call themselves Christians or raised in Christian homes. There are kids who are doing sexual things, but because it's not intercourse, they think it's okay. Because they're not actually having intercourse, they say, we could touch each other this way, or we could bring each other to sexual satisfaction as long as it's not intercourse. Boy, I didn't know I was going to get so graphic in this program just reading through the text here. But I'm telling you, this is a big problem in the church today, and it's been like that for a while now. I remember when I was a youth pastor, kids were starting to think like that. They would think, as long as you're not actually having technical intercourse, then you're not having sex. No, if you're sexually stimulating one another, and especially bringing each other or one bringing another to a sexual climax, that's sex. Okay, so let me read that again from the Message translation. Do not allow love to turn into lust, setting off a downhill slide into sexual promiscuity, filthy practices, or bullying, greed. So, folks, if you don't like what I'm saying, then just turn off the radio and open up your Bible and read Ephesians 5 in whatever Bible you happen to own, whatever translation you prefer, and see what God shows you. Because I'm telling you, if you just keep your eyes open and your heart open to the Lord, He's going to speak to you about these things. He's going to convict you. Because I think many of the Christians today need to be convicted of things that we have let into our lives, we've let into the church, we've rationalized it, we've said it's okay, whether it's in our actual practices, whether it's in just our fantasy life, or whether it's the things we're viewing in movies or listening to in music. Be aware of this, okay? So, all that for Ephesians 5:3. Now let's see how far we get in this, because there's so much in this chapter. The next verse then says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Now, this is going to take some clarification as well, okay? Because what are you talking about, foolish talking? You know, I tell you something, when I, as a grandpa playing with my grandkids, we talk foolish, just nonsense, just having fun. That's not what it's talking about, okay? It's not talking about, just being silly. It's talking about things that are unfitting for the Christian to talk about. As a matter of fact, let me just look at it in a couple other translations. The NIV says, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather giving thanks. Again, we get this kind of feel like it's out of place in your life. Again, we get this feel that there are certain things, whether it's the way you talk or the movies you go to or the way you live, there are certain things in the Christian's life that's out of place. For more information, read Ephesians 5, because our time is up. I hear the music playing. Listen, folks, today is Friday. Go to church this weekend. If you're looking for a good church and you don't have one, we welcome you to Calvary Chapel Eagle. Lord bless. We'll see you next week.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at cceagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to lookup at cceagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus.
Look full in His wonderful face. I want to grow dim standing next to you.